Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race recap, or should I say RuCap, here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. My name is Mike Bloom, and I am here to talk about the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race, which is coming back for its second All-Star season. But of course, I am not alone. In true RuPaul fashion, I am joined by a Wrap-Ups judges panel, if you will, to judge RuPaul's Drag Race. You have heard them before, both on RHAP, and of course on previous iterations of RuPaul's Drag Race discussion. First, you recognize him most from his coverage of Big Brother, of which he's a live feed correspondent. He is ready to spill the tea on everything RuPaul's Drag Race. It is Brent Wolgamott. Brent, welcome.
Water off a duck's back, water off a duck's back, water off a duck's back. Oh, well, hey, hi, Mike, how you doing? Sorry, I got
Don't jinx it, Brent. Yeah,
A little in my head there for a second. I'm sorry. Hey, everybody, how you doing? Girl, I am gagging. I'm ready to get on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2.
And we are joined by someone that is very native to Reality TV Wrap-Up. She currently covers the MTV shows on the network, including The Challenge and Are You the One? She is the very definition of a glamazon because she is a female phenomenon. It is Allie Lasher. Allie, how's it going?
I'm doing amazing because I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, based on your intro, dare I say I'm the Michelle Visage to your RuPaul?
I suppose so. I mean, if I'm truly the RuPaul in this situation, I feel like we are in the darkest timeline. I'm honored with the comparison, but I don't know if the two of us can pick each other out at a family reunion. But I am so excited to be here. After listening to you two talk with Rob about RuPaul's Drag Race season 8 a few months ago, I was inspired to check out a bunch of the seasons on Hulu. Personally, I fell in love with the show, and as a result, I wanted to bring some sort of coverage of at least All-Stars 2, bringing together all these queens from this variety of seasons to Reality TV Wrap-Ups, and that is what we're here to do. Today, we are going to preview the cast for All-Stars 2 and talk a little bit about the differences that come in form and possibly in judging alignments this season. But to start, in case you haven't listened to the previous two podcasts that existed on RHAP, which I'll link to in the show notes, that got together with Rob to talk about the beginning of Season 8 and the middle of Season 8, it's a great introduction to anyone who doesn't know the show. But just in case people are jumping in here cold, Brent, can you talk a little bit about what RuPaul's Drag Race is? How would you describe it in like a 30-second elevator pitch to someone?
Oh, wow. I would describe it as a weird combination of like Project Runway and drag queens rolled into one. I mean, there's an element to it where it's just a bunch of popcorn television where you're just having a great time, but there is a pot of money at the end that you want to win. And up until now, and you know, I think we decided we were going to cover RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2. And by the way, after this, I'm just going to call All-Stars 2 so I don't keep having to say RuPaul's Drag Race. We were going to cover it, and we thought it was going to be in the same vein as every other RuPaul's Drag Race season where, you know, Ru decided who's going to be on the show. Ru decides who's in the top and the bottom. Ru decides who lip syncs for their life and who Ru determines the winner. But after we decided we were going to do this, we found out that there is a massive twist, which even goes more hand in hand with the show that I cover, Big Brother, which means that the queens have a hand themselves in eliminating each other. Mike, RuPaul has given the power back to the people.
Yeah, which was really interesting to me. And we'll talk a little bit about how this twist might impact on our personal feelings about it. But I feel like I assembled the perfect panel here as well, because Allie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is very challenge-esque as well. Again, we'll get at a later point, we'll get into how this new strategic system works, but it's very much, hey, one person wins this challenge and they decide who gets eliminated. That feels very, I mean, the elimination system depends every season of the challenge, but I feel like a lot of the challenges have that sort of representative system of elimination.
Yeah, they're really moving it from like the American Idol model to a more of a traditional, I don't know if traditional, but like competition reality show where there's strategy amongst each other. I'm interested in seeing, because I don't know that I fully understand what's happening in terms of like there have been iterations of the challenges where whoever loses a challenge is automatically in the bottom, and then the team in power, the winning team, will be able to vote someone in. Or there have been times where the winning team has been able to pick both of the people going in. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen on this season. Do you guys happen to know anything more about who the winning queen gets to send home?
Yeah, I read a little bit more about it today, and from what I can tell, it seems that, you know, two queens are going to, who the top two queens who win the challenge, they're going to lip sync for their legacy, and whichever queen wins that lip sync, they get to eliminate from the bottom queen. So whoever RuPaul places in the quote unquote bottom, you're going to hear a lot of bottoms on this show, then that's who they can eliminate. They can't just eliminate their competition from the lip sync. They can't eliminate anybody who was quote unquote safe. They're only going to be able to pick from the bottom three queens. That is my understanding of how it's going to work.
Which, when I initially heard this twist, I thought it was going to function much more like Survivor or Big Brother, where the person who won the legacy lip sync would be safe and they can pick anyone else to eliminate, where only one person is immune. I think that choosing from the bottom queens makes it a lot more fair, and it's probably more comparable to that Big Brother situation, in that only two or three people are really up for elimination, and it really does put a lot of value in the challenge, where it's not like, you know, if you were middling in the challenge, you still have a chance of going home. They're still going to chastise those who didn't do well in the challenge, but it at least gives them a chance in terms of a social game of Survivor rather than depending specifically on RuPaul's opinion. Now, I suppose we should dive right into it, because, I mean, this is heavily contested. As we talked about, for those of you that don't know, the show previously, RuPaul, and depending on, you know, the time of day, the consortment of judges around her would decide who is going home. And I know that you guys have talked about how that's brought about a variety of reactions. Some eliminations made sense. Some probably didn't make sense from our point of view. So let's just get down to the nitty gritty here. Brent, when you heard about this twist, aside from its connections to the shows that you currently cover on the RHAP networks, were you excited about it, or were you fearful that we're straying away from the RuPaul's Drag Race formula?
Initially, I was fearful about it because I love RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, it's been great to me as a viewer for the past, you know, eight seasons or so. And I, you know, when I read about this, it was in a headline, and it said, you know, massive twist for RuPaul's Drag Race. And of course, people always say, oh, there's a massive twist. And there really isn't a massive twist. It's just something
Bachelor ruined us all in terms of hyperbolic statements.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, whatever. But then I read what it was, and I was like, oh my goodness. Like, and then it quickly dawned on me, because I had a problem with why all of Alaska Talks is back. You know, Roxy, Detox, and Alaska are all back for this season. Massive threesome. You can debate whether or not Alaska is really part of that or not. I think we'll get into that. But like, and not only that, but Coco and Alyssa are back. And I'm like, why do we need to see these people again? And now it all makes sense to me. It really does. That RuPaul wants to see how these queens interact with each other when they realize that there are different alliances going on, and if how quickly these queens are ready to play the game.
Allie, what were your thoughts when you initially saw the twist?
You know, the lip sync for your life is one of my favorite parts of the traditional show, where you see somebody who maybe had a bad day or the challenge wasn't their main skill set, like just turns it out and saves themselves, and you're really rooting for them. But I think at this level of competition with an All-Stars, I mean, we know all or most of all these queens can turn out a lip sync.
Right.
And so for me, it's like, I don't want to see like these All-Stars battle it out. And we could easily see situations where, am I remembering correctly, in season All-Star season one, that Jujubee and Raven both stayed when they lip synced against each other? Was that
the
result of that?
Yeah. Once it was down to the final four, they lip synced against each other and both of them stayed.
Right. I feel like that kind of like broke this model for All-Stars. I think this makes a lot more sense at this level of competition. Like, we're not going to see, I hope, a situation like in season eight where two queens are eliminated because they can't even lip sync like at the bottom level. So I think this at least elevates it and will make for phenomenal lip syncs. It also takes the pressure off of the queen. So it will be interesting to see potentially them having more fun with it when they're lip syncing for their legacy as opposed to lip syncing for their lives. All in all, I like this twist. I think it's going to add a new dimension that the All-Stars need.
I'm a little torn, to be honest, about it, because I do agree with what you said, Allie. I think that the queens will probably throw their balls to the wall, or the untucked balls, I should say, to the wall a little bit more when their life isn't necessarily on the line and they're really just going for glory. Because as much as you may think on paper, oh, since they're not being up for elimination, they won't try as hard, let's remember that these people are all entertainers for a living. And so they all know what makes good TV, which will also you know, hopefully make for entertaining TV in the strategic element as well, because I'm sure that everyone's ready to, you know, stab each other in the back and deliver the Sue Hawk-esque speeches. But that being said, I will say one of the reasons why I got into RuPaul's Drag Race in the first place is because there really wasn't that much of a strategic element. While I do enjoy those shows, I do enjoy other shows like Top Chef and RuPaul's Drag Race, where, yes, it's more subjective that one person is deciding who goes home. But that being said, you don't have to think too much about the gaming of the system and everything like that. You can really just kind of sit back and watch and not need to worry about that at all. To have that come back, it's going to make for really interesting discussion, but I'm not entirely sure if I want this form of chocolate in my peanut butter, personally.
Mike, I really have to say that I hear what you're saying, but, you know, if you let's look back to last season, okay, where we could see, if you had any eyes whatsoever, that Bob the drag queen was clearing away the favorite, the winner, the person who was going to take all the money to win last season, okay? And it happened just as we foretold. Rob, who didn't know anything about RuPaul's Drag Race, picked Bob as his person in the draft. Bob ends up winning. And you could see it happening the entire season. It was never, ever, 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 ever in doubt. The only thing that was in doubt was who was going to go to the final three with him, okay? So given that, I actually really do like this different iteration of RuPaul's Drag Race, because now if Bob the drag queen has a bad day and ends up in the bottom, he could potentially be eliminated. And I like the fact that there is a little bit of unpredictability. Everyone knows I like Big Brother at its best when there's a little bit of unpredictability. I don't like where people march to the end and you can see where the ending's coming from back on page 33, okay? I like to see a little bit of chance in the game. Otherwise, it's not a game. And I didn't like the fact that I knew Bob was the winner last season. It was a little bit boring. It really was. So mm-hmm. I really like, maybe RuPaul sensed that and said, you know what? I'm going to give the power back to the people. This, and he, you know what? I think also we have to discuss the fact that I think this twist is an emanation of the fact that a lot of people criticized the first All-Stars as being rigged. Like that RuPaul wanted to give the money to Chad Michaels from the beginning. Everybody could sense that, and that's exactly how it played out. So RuPaul said, screw that. I'm not going to be accused of that anymore. It's not rigged. He's actually said this. It's not rigged. I'm giving the power back to the contestants. They can decide. So I think this actually puts more pressure on some of the contestants, specifically those people in an alliance. You can't tell me if Roxy has a bad day and ends up in the bottom and Detox is in the top, Detox is going to feel massive pressure to try to win that lip sync, to try to protect Roxy, because she knows if she doesn't, that whoever is against her in the lip sync is most likely going to eliminate Roxy because that queen is threatened by their alliance.
You spoke about the previous iteration of All Stars. Ali, I think it's important to notice that this is not the first time that RuPaul has changed formats for their All Star seasons. Can you talk a little bit about the format of the first All Star season and how it was received specifically?
Yeah. Well, Brent may be able to talk more about that based on that UGG. But yeah, I mean, basically the queens were partnered up, and I think we could just do a group UGG about the way that turned out. I feel like I need to just let Brent speak more on this.
No, I don't want to rain on your parade. Like, I mean, no, like, please. We all hated it. Like, come on. And I don't know anybody who liked that twist. I don't know what RuPaul was thinking when she decided, you know what, people are so psyched for an All-Stars, but let's, instead of giving them 12 episodes, let's instead give everybody 6 episodes. And now somebody like Latrice Royale can go home on the 3rd episode. You know, no, it was a terrible idea. What the hell was she thinking? I'm glad they put it in the trash can and didn't bring it back.
That being said, there are 10 queens this season. I mean, I don't know if we're going for only 6 episodes, but do you think there obviously won't be any double eliminations, but do you think this season's going to be significantly shorter than other ones usually are?
I think that that's a big factor in why they did the team season. But it really does look like, we talked about this, all of us off air, like it really does seem like they're really pushing this season in terms of it being available also on VH1 in addition to Logo. Like, mm-hmm. And it's moved, I think, what, from Monday to Thursday night.
Right.
So I don't know, like, while it is shorter for whatever reason, like it does seem like they're really behind it.
Speaking of season 8, I just want to kind of go off on a tangent here, because again, you guys did cover about 2/3 of season 8, but I know we weren't able to record a finale reaction. Brent, I know you said that it was boring to watch Bob march to the end, but do you have any other detailed thoughts about season 8 in general?
I was not surprised that Bob ended up winning. I was surprised at who joined him there. I really, really, really thought that Authority Thor and Acid Betty were going to make a run for it. I really thought those were the two queens. I thought it was going to be three New York queens at the end. Maybe I should have known better than to expect that. Kimchi, I will say this about Kimchi. I don't know if you guys watched the All-Stars the finale from season eight, but I think that RuPaul maybe wanted to give Kimchi the money, but Kimchi would not give RuPaul what RuPaul wanted, which was a feel-good moment with Kimchi's mom, where Kimchi told mom, like, this is what I do for a living. This is what I'm doing. You know, Ru said, well, what are you doing? How is your relationship with your mom? And basically it was the same from the show where Kimchi's mom didn't know what Kimchi was doing. And, you know, RuPaul was never going to reward that as the winner of season eight. So, I mean, Kimchi, to me, took herself out of the running, and there was no way that Naomi Smalls was ever going to be the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. I was really pleased that the pick that I was criticized for by some people on this panel, Chi-Chi Devane, I was laughed at by people on this panel for picking Chi-Chi Devane. That bitch made it to the final four and really turned it out and really became a fan favorite. I love Chi-Chi, so I'm glad she did me proud. Mm-hmm.
Well, this bitch was not here for Chi-Chi Devane. I will say it. I still feel that way. I totally got what you were saying, Brent, about her, like, in terms of, like, Chi-Chi Devane is what RuPaul, like, wants on Drag Race. Like, RuPaul has a soft spot for the Chi-Chi Devanes of the world, like, as well he should, but I was not here for her.
All right.
Yeah, I fell in love with Chi-Chi. I'd agree that in the beginning, she came off as a little jank to me, especially, you know, in the one, what was it? Was it the Wizard of Oz challenge, which I'm sure we'll talk about because it introduces somebody new to the game coming this season, where, like, she had kind of just thrown a bunch of pieces on that she'd previously worn. And yes, it does connect to her sad story about, you know, growing up on a more limited budget than other queens. But I was surprised but happy to see her make it to the end. I really like season eight overall. I dare say that final four might be like one of my favorite final fours ever. I know that Naomi Smalls, even though, you know, she was not from New York, she got a lot of flack for trying to be New York. But I thought, you know, during that, again, that Wizard of Oz challenge, I think she was able to kind of have a phoenix rising from the ashes moment and then really delivered as a fashion queen from then on. And Kimchi, as Brent just said, really surprised me as well. I thought she was going to be this one trick pony in terms of makeup only, can't dance, can't act, can't do anything like that. But she really grew into her own. It's interesting that you bring up the feel good moment as well, because I know I agree with what you guys were talking about in that first podcast, where it seemed like with the whole mom strained relationship storyline that it was going to really christen perhaps Kimchi as the winner. But the fact that she didn't really deliver in a big moment, like, for example, Darian Lake talking to her parents who shut her out in season six, that moment didn't deliver. I don't know if that was the complete impetus as for why RuPaul shut her out. I think Bob definitely brought a lot of reason for her to herself to be elected. But maybe, you know, Kimchi is a very pleasant person, but I think that Bob was definitely the right winner in that case.
Bob was definitely the right winner. My only point is that if there was ever a part of RuPaul that wanted to give the money to Kimchi, it completely evaporated the minute RuPaul realized, you know, I'm not going to get what I want in this finale. You know, there's not going to be a feel good moment for the audience between Kimchi and her mom. And a lot of gay people, for better or for worse, go through things with their parents that we like seeing the happy ending. And sometimes it doesn't end so happy. And, you know, we saw that on the finale of season eight, where, you know, it's like, oh, I still really haven't worked things out with my mom. And that's life. But that's not RuPaul's Drag Race.
Go ahead, Allie.
I'm sorry. Just one quick thing about the finale in general. I want to say I agree with you, Mike, about Naomi Smalls. Like, I was like over Naomi Smalls from the beginning, and then slowly throughout the season, I feel like she really performed like way higher than anyone's expectations of her. So I was very satisfied to see her in the final three, while I never thought she was going to win. But oh my God, I just forgot what I was going to say. It's so embarrassing. Oh God, I would not make the final
three.
Well,
that's okay. Well, while you're thinking of what you were going to say, I was going to say, like I said, not only was season eight so predictable from Bob winning, but like Derek Barry finished exactly where I thought Derek Barry was going to finish. Derek Barry finished in fifth place. You knew where he was going to finish. We were going to get some storyline out of him. There was going to be one challenge where he did a pretty good job and got a lot of salvation from RuPaul. And then he was quickly kicked off the show when he couldn't compete with the other queens. Like, I could see it coming a mile away. So I love the fact, and you know, know what? It's been like that a few seasons now where you do kind of, you kind of know how things are going to go. So I'm really cool with RuPaul shaking it up here and trying something different. Let's see how this works.
Thank you for saving me, Brent. I'm sorry. I just cut you off again, Mike, because I wrote it down and I remember. I didn't love the format of the finale, though, overall. Like, that original song each of them had to perform, like, felt...
Well, they started that in season 7. And, Yeah, even then, I was not necessarily into it. I think it was just...
It's filler.
You know, it reminds me of sort of like the Big Brother finale when they're like, and now we'll bring out the pre-jurors and let's watch video packages. Because these finales, I think, last like 90 minutes now. And only starting in season 4 did they do that announcement live. But yeah, like you just said, Brent, it was definitely filler. I get you want to congregate and really marinate in the status of this final three as much as possible, but we just kind of want to get to the vote at the end of the day.
Yep, just waiting for RuPaul to make her decision.
it just like watched as way heavier this season, like that season. Like I felt like only Bob really turned it out, and I think maybe it's just a result of like Kim Chi's outfit being like extremely restricting and Naomi just like not bringing energy to it. But I felt like only in Bob's performance was I entertained, which just kind of fit for the entire season.
Yeah.
Do we know Latrice Royale and Chad Michaels appeared after season 4 on All Stars 1? Do you think it was just a filming schedule discrepancy that they didn't have any season 8 queens on All Stars 2? Or do you think it was just so kind of received meh that they decided not to have anyone return?
I mean, I don't know this. I think some of the queens were a little meh, but I think that my understanding is that All Stars 2 filmed like back to back with season 8. So, I mean, like even though we saw season 8 finish up like, you know, months ago, like this All Stars 2 has been in the can for a while now. So, I mean, I think there was basically no time. I'm sure they could have brought somebody back, but they just, for whatever reason, they decided not to.
So we don't have any like Dralcom Freebergs that went on one season and immediately got called back to go on to the next one.
I don't know, because I do think that Chi Chi, Thorgy, Acid, like those are all like All Stars fodder. Even Kimchi. So I mean, I don't think it's a result of like them not wanting to bring the queens back, but I don't know enough about the scheduling to disagree with you.
Well, let's focus on this season at hand now that we've kind of tied the bow on season 8. So there is some new stuff, not only in the format as we talked about, but to the judging panel as well. We have a new judge, Allie, Todrick Hall. Do you want to talk a little bit about Todrick is as a person and how he was previously involved in Drag Race?
Yeah, so Todrick Hall is billed as a YouTube sensation, but he's also an MTV sensation, although I don't know if his show got picked up again. But Todrick basically, I mean, I listened to Todrick on the RuPaul podcast and also like started watching his show a little bit. And basically he is like parody music theater wizard on YouTube. And one thing I'll point out about Todrick, as you mentioned before, he judged the Wizard of Oz challenge last season in a phenomenal Emerald City outfit that is burned into my memory in a good way. And I'll say about Todrick is I think he's going to be really focused on ingenuity, and he's someone who takes like $5 and like gets the most bang for his buck out of it, whether with costumes and with his whole production value of his YouTube videos. That's kind of what his show is about. So he's not going to settle for a Chi Chi DeVere or someone like attributing it to not coming from money. Not that these people are like, you know, going to be suffering for good outfits, but I think it's going to be a really interesting perspective that he's going to bring to the judging panel.
Brent, he is joining the judging panel, as was just mentioned. I feel like in the podcast you guys did with Rob, we kind of glossed over who the judging panel is. And I know that Rue and Michelle Visage was there from day one. Michelle joined in season 3. Carson Kressley joined officially in season 7. And we lost Ross Matthews after last season as well. Do you have any thoughts about this current iteration of judges, especially Michelle Visage, which, you know, is Ali's analog in this case, but has become like Rue's kind of right-hand deadpan woman for the franchise.
Right. Michelle Visage, for those people who don't know, like, she really has become the heart and soul for a lot of these queens connecting to RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, they get to see RuPaul some. They get to see Michelle Visage a lot. Like, when they go on these tours and these ships, Michelle Visage is always a part of it. She knows all the queens. She talks to them. She knows their language. They respect her. They respect her opinion. You know, they do have fun with her, but I really do think they get along with her quite well. As far as Carson goes, he's fun. Like, I mean, I'm fine to see him back, but I am really glad that Todrick is on the panel. He's someone different who really gets creativity and ingenuity, and as Ali said, can make, you know, the best outfit out of a $10 bill. So I really am excited to see him back. By the way, Ross Matthews is going to be back, but as a guest judge, he's not going to be full-time on the panel.
Oh, okay, so is he sort of like what Santino did after he disappeared after season 6 and made like a guest appearance on season 7 where
he's basically gone.
But not forgotten?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Anything else about the new changes to RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, or should we jump in?
Let's jump in.
Open the library on these queens.
Let's see what's happening on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 Herstory.
Yes, the library is open. So I figured let's just go down queen by queen. I have them here in alphabetical order. We'll talk through their previous iterations, if they've done anything afterwards, and how we think they can fare, especially given this new context of strategy. And of course, how else could we start this off without a party? It is Adore Delano, aka Danny Noriega, runner-up of season 6. Ali, give me your thoughts on Adore Delano from season 6. Both, you know, just specifically in season 6 before we jump into how she could do on this season.
Party. Adore Delano had a very, very interesting arc that I think will only continue onto this season. Where she came in, she was actually on, or he was on American Idol as a contestant, and came on to season 6 as, you know, Adore Delano. And Adore has a ton of talent, but she was not the most polished queen. She got into it a couple of times with Michelle Visage about cinching her waist. And I just think there was like a really beautiful evolution. I mean, she's a couple of standout challenges that I do not have the Wikipedia open, but just from memory, was in the challenge where it was like her versus Courtney Act in the singing challenge. She really nailed it there. And also in the hip hop challenge. I think she can really, really shine, and I'm hopeful to see her now. I think she's like really evolved. She's released some CDs since her time on the show. And I'm really excited to see Adore Delano. I think they're going to love continuing this arc of her relationship with Michelle and just how she's evolved from really this kind of like, not like the Chi-Chi Devane of her season, but kind of.
Yeah, she was. I'll say she was the Chi-Chi Devane of her season. Yeah, maybe it was a little bit more talent. Mike, for all the other queens who tell me I'm not polished enough, they just need to know that I'm polish remover, bitch. Okay? Party! Yes, okay.
All right, Brent, give me, do you adore? Give me your thoughts.
I do. I love to adore because this is somebody who is so different from many of the other queens on All Stars 2. Like, if you guys haven't seen Adore since season 6, she has really improved her drag. Like, she's taken everything that RuPaul's Drag Race gave her and she totally ran with it. Like, she's released a few singles, she's really toned up her drag. Like, her makeup is much better, her outfits are much cleaner. She does have that little bit of grunge sort of punk-esque aspect to it, so it's different from many of the other, you know, glitzy and glamour queens on RuPaul's Drag Race, and it's something different. So, you know, I wasn't surprised that she was invited back for a hot second there. I really did think that Adore might have a chance to beat Bianca Del Rio, if only because, you know, RuPaul loves that comeback, you know, that kid rising from the ashes who was nothing and gets laughed at and, you know, becomes the biggest belle of the ball. But Bianca was just too big competition. But I'm glad to see her back in All Stars 2.
Absolutely. I mean, Adore Delano is, my wife watched the seasons of Drag Race along with me, and Adore Delano is far and away her favorite drag queen of all time. For me, it's just something tickles me about the way she delivers things in confessional. She sort of just has this weird, like, I wouldn't even call it Valley Girl, but she has this very dry yet young way of delivering things that I always laugh in her confessionals, no matter what she says. And she makes herself laugh, too, which is great. Just outlining what Allie said, the challenges that she won the hip hop competition. She won the infomercial that the pairs did for RuPaul's drag makeup. And she won the glitter ball, which, again, was a big underdog moment because she was the one, as mentioned before, that couldn't cinch her own waist, and she actually won a sewing challenge. She did lip sync twice. The first one was the talk show challenge, where it was Cher and her, oh no, it was Chaz Bono and his grandmother, and Adore just kind of floundered there. And the other one was the big makeover challenge. It was dressing people up for the wedding. And even Adore, there's some really nice videos on logo.com if you guys haven't seen it yet out there. And Adore talks about how, you know, probably her biggest, most infamous look was when she kind of just had to put her foundation on the peeling face of this one guy, and head makeup was streaking everywhere, and it was a big hot mess. I love Adore as a character, and like you guys, I'm so excited to see her come back, even though, as Brent said, she did come close to defeating my personal favorite drag queen, Bianca Del Rio. What I'm nervous about is this new strategy element. There was a video, I think, that said, you know, who's your biggest competition? I know there were other interviews that were coming out in other periodicals, and it seemed like Adore was one of the names that was really thrown out a lot. So while I do think Adore would do a really good job on any other formatted season of Drag Race, what I'm a little fearful for is that if people think, okay, I need to start gunning for the big heads almost immediately, the minute Adore isn't safe, they're going to get rid of her.
Well, she needs to make sure that she stays out of the bottom. I mean, that's what the whole impetus of this change is. You know, from my understanding, again, I do leave some room that I could be wrong, but I can't imagine it's not any other way, because I read it. I thought it was going to be this way, and then I read about it today that it's going to be this way. If you're in the top and you win the challenge, you get to eliminate from the bottom queens. So it's not like you can just pick anybody. You got to eliminate from the bottom queen. So as long as Adore can keep her head above water, she should be safe. If, you know, if, like, from what I said about her looking different than the other queens, all you need to do is look at her promo picture compared to the other nine queens that are on this season. Not only her colors, but her color scheme, the way she wears her hair, the way she does her makeup. I mean, everything about it to me screams different than the glamazons that you see from the other nine queens. So I really love the fact that she's on the season. I like her chances. As long as she can keep her head above water and not really fall to the end, I think she should do fine. I'm really also interested to see how does this work on this season. Like, if Adore is doing well, and then she all of a sudden ends up in the bottom, do the queens want to eliminate her because she's doing well and she's competition? And they are they fearful that if they do that, that RuPaul will sort of look down on them and be pissed at them for eliminating the bigger competition to keep the weaker one, so to speak? So I'm very interested in this new dichotomy. It's one thing if it's just the 10 of them, but now it's the 10 of them plus Ru plus the judging panel, and they're going to have to account for their actions.
Can I,
Allie,
ask?
It also,
oh, I'm sorry. I'm the worst. I'm just tired from life.
I was going to shoot it to you anyway. I mean, Allie, it is important to note that Adore is the only representative from season six, and I'm sure we'll talk about the megalith that are the season five representatives very soon. Do you think that's going to benefit or hurt Adore Delano? That, yes, these queens do interact outside of the show, but there's nobody else that was playing the game with her. She's kind of out on her own island.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if it becomes a situation where the queens from the seasons that don't have the huge representation will band together. But I also wouldn't undervalue the bots tour. Like, I feel like Adore is really out there, and the drag community, you know, is big, but it's small, and especially the RuPaul's Drag Race family. So I wouldn't say she's like extremely disadvantaged just because she wasn't on a season with anyone else. But I did want to rudely interrupt you to ask if either of you think there's a possibility that RuPaul will overturn one of the decisions if she doesn't agree, just because I know they're going to want to make cutthroat decisions, want the queens to be cutthroat. And I am questioning, just like Brent is, whether or not queens are going to take the opportunity to cut the big competition, or if they're going to truly pick who deserves to go home, whatever that may mean. But Brent, it always sticks with me that you said on our show with Rob, like, Ru does what Ru wants. She doesn't care. Her whole thing with her judges panels is silence, like, enough of you, my decision. I could kind of see Ru intervening. Am I crazy?
I think you're crazy, and this is why. Because RuPaul said earlier this week, RuPaul said earlier this week that, and this is a quote from RuPaul, "Honey, this isn't rigged. I've chosen to give the power back to the people." So he can't very well say that. And then, you know, some random time in All Stars 2 say, "You know what? I don't like that." You know, then the queens won't know what to do. So I have to believe RuPaul's going to keep her nose out of it. She's given the power to the queens, and let's see what happens. Look, I'm looking at the list here, okay? I'm looking at the list of all 10 people who are on this season. Honestly, with the exception of maybe one person, I would be fine if any one of these 9 queens won this season. I think RuPaul would too. So they've all acquitted themselves very, very well since their first run on the show ended. So I'm totally fine with any one of them winning. And the person who I don't think deserves to win the title of All Stars 2, that person, in my opinion, ain't winning anyway. So I think RuPaul's going to be very happy no matter what happens with this season. Just let it play out.
Yeah, I do agree that I think the idea of the RuPublic is definitely out the door. That, to quote James Miller, we're doing democracy this season. My only caveat, the only other thing that I could see Ru possibly doing is a buyback, which she has done, as if you count season 8, but season 7 was really the big one, where maybe halfway through the competition, Ru will say, okay, it's my choice, I'll bring somebody back. In that case, we'll see how that depends as well. Will it become a revolving door situation? Will that eliminated person be utilized to whatever the current strategies are? But that might just be something to keep in mind, that idea, that twist is out there in the ethos to be utilized, and that, in my opinion, would be the only time that Rue would utilize executive power.
All right.
Right. I mean, realistically, all of the messaging that's being presented has been put together after the season. And I guess if Rue were to do anything like that, they definitely wouldn't have the messaging be like, it's not rigged. All the girls are going to decide.
Yeah. Right.
So
I agree. I was quickly going to say that I think that, you know, if that, you know, it's already in the can. So if Rue knew that she did something, she would say something to the effect of, you know, I gave the power to the queens as long as they don't abuse it or something like that. But she didn't say anything like that. So I totally think the queens have the power to do whatever they want. Okay.
So let's bid adieu to Adore. Let's move up north and talk about our next drag queen, the first of many from season 5. It is Alaska. And yes, I will stick with the first name Alaska because this is a family
Alaska
podcast.
Thank you.
Runner-up of season 5 and season 4, Sharon Needles' boyfriend. Brent, give me your thoughts on Alaska.
Alaska, definitely one of the favorites, could have won her season. In fact, I really thought for a long time that if there wasn't such a massive public outpouring for Jinx, I really, really did think that Alaska could win her season. And says here, she should have won her season. I love Jinx Monsoon, but Alaska absolutely blew away the second half of that season challenge-wise. And she was the only one to step up to the plate and give Rue what she wanted during the final episodes. I think she should have won. So if she gets to the end, you have to be scared of her. If I were the queens, I would look very, very hard at trying to get Alaska out sooner than later. She is the thing I love about Alaska, who, by the way, if you guys don't know, she used to be Sharon Needles' partner. She's no longer with Sharon Needles. There was a bit of drama there. So they're not together anymore. She's by herself. And she has done some things with Logo since then. She's done some things with her brother. Her brother's name is Corey. I actually forget the name of the show, but it's on YouTube. And it's like a straight guy drag queen thing where they're brother and they're talking about different things. So she's kept her name out there. I love the fact that the creativity that emanates from Alaska is just mind-boggling to me. Like the first time he came in a trash bag and I thought, what is this? But after that entire season, everything he came up with was just magical. I loved everything Alaska did. Her personality fits in very well with all the other queens. She's made friendships with the other queens. She's very easy to get along with. When you say, I think Adore Delano in an interview I watched earlier today said, if you look up what a drag queen's supposed to be, Alaska's picture is going to be there with her little tits and her big butt out to here. Like that's what a drag queen is. So, you know, I think they need to be scared. They need to get her out soon. But if she's there in the end, she's definitely a favorite to win.
Allie, are you running hot or cold on Alaska?
The name might suggest cold, but I love Alaska. Alaska's always been my favorite queen. Like, I'm obsessed with Alaska. What I love about Alaska is like he's hungry for it. Like it came up in his season that he applied like a bajillion times, had to watch his then boyfriend, you know, thrive on something that he really wanted to be a part of. And then when Alaska got her moment, like she crushed it. I think the issue is that Alaska got involved in Rolaska talks, which Brent, you name checked earlier. And it was just became a very mean girl scenario and really turned the spotlight and America's love onto Jinx Monsoon, which I think really, really hurt Alaska.
Yes.
And I loved seeing the push pull that season of Alaska, like not really wanting to be a part of that clique.
Yeah.
And
Alaska Wigglesworth.
I think it will be interesting to see how that group functions now. Alaska's the only queen that I like full-time follow on Instagram. Like I obsess with Alaska. But I don't know what their current relationship status is amongst the three, but I think she's not going to make that same mistake again. Although this format does kind of incentivize an alliance.
Though, again, like you said, it'll be interesting to see not necessarily her with Alaska talks, but even in her season, she was showing wariness and the ability to not necessarily jump ship, but sort of go out on her own and kind of blaze her own trail. So maybe she's the type of person that will try to utilize the alliance for as far as it will go and then just kind of go out on her own. I mean, Alaska is, I think you mentioned it before in Adora's interview, is the whole package. I mean, she is primarily branded as a comedy queen, but her looks were pretty stunning. She won two challenges, though she was on the top a bunch. She won in her season the perfume challenge and the big multiple looks challenge, the sugar ball in that season. And very important to note, she's the only queen this season who did not have to lip sync for her life. And that is a little bit of a double-edged sword in that means she was so awesome and good at the game that she never faced elimination. At the same time, she probably does not know the pressure of being in that situation. So I guess it's grateful that it's lip sync for your legacy. That way she won't, you know, have stage fright when being put in that situation. But again, like Adore, she was like number two, if not the number one name out of people's mouths when they say, who are you threatened by here? So I feel like the first moment, you know, just like Richard Hatch, the first moment Alaska's is in the bottom, I feel like she is a prime target to go.
Yeah, but the one thing I want to say, though, you know, if you look back at season five, you know, of the three queens in Alaska talks, you know, Detox and Roxy, they were over there absolutely bagging on Jinx, you know, just had no shame whatsoever, gave America everything that they had to say about Jinx. Alaska, on the other hand, you know, we saw her and she had a heart. You know, she was like the drag queen with the heart in the Mean Girls Alliance. Okay, like she felt bad about, you know, Jinx, and she could perceive that it wasn't a good look for the three of them to be ganging up on Jinx. You know, she had that perception. So I'm very interested to see, you know, in this new strategy that's being involved in the game now, perceiving alliances and how are you being perceived by other people. How's she going to do? I think she's going to do great.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing that I'm hoping for from Alaska in All-Stars 2 from a producing perspective is they need to bring back Little Pound Cake in some way, shape, or form, because that was one of the moments. RuPaul's Drag Race creates a lot of laugh-worthy moments, in my opinion, but that was something that, like, had me rolling on the floor, both the description and the look of Little Pound Cake. So here's to hoping a Little Pound Cake inspired challenge is coming our way. Let's dance over to our next queen, shall we? We're continuing along with season five. Alyssa Edwards is here making weird faces in the mirror. Allie, how do you feel about Alyssa?
Okay, Brent, don't jump through the computer and strangle me. I don't love Alyssa Edwards.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, it's not just you. People love Alyssa. My reaction to Alyssa is just like, oh, I'm tired. Like, I just feel like Alyssa tries so hard, which I love. I love someone who is, you know, bringing their A game every time. But I just feel like she misses the mark a little bit. And this is such a, like, tiny example of this. But she said something, like, in her interview where she's like, I'm here for my redemption. Not the re, the rue. And it's like, you don't need to explain the joke. Like, we got the joke, Alyssa.
Also, like, three other queens made the exact same joke.
But I will say, she is a beauty queen. She gives face. She gives choreography. She puts in 100% effort. But I don't really feel like she's going to be around that long.
Oh, all really?
Right, Brent, let's go. Well, let's now, go to the other side of the coin. Yeah, nah, you expressed your personal backing of Alyssa Edwards before we came on here. So I'd love to hear from you about it.
Allie, get a grip, get a life, and get over it, okay? Seriously. How can you think she's not going to do well? I mean, these queens, they're going to want to keep this bitch around, okay? She's funny. She gets along with everybody. She brings the drama. Like, they don't think she can win. I'm sure they don't think she can win. But I do think that Alyssa can win. I think Rue loves Alyssa, and she totally gets where Alyssa's coming from. Look, I know that the fact that she had to explain the joke is what tickles me. Like every other queen would just say redemption and leave it there, okay? The fact that Alyssa thinks she needs to explain the joke. Alyssa, her best moments of being funny was when she was not trying to be funny. Like, when she was trying to be funny, it was like, okay, that isn't working. When she was not trying to be funny and she was just like being Alyssa, she was hilarious. And that was what America fell in love with. So I think she's going to do great. I really do. I'm very interested to see how she responds to being on a show with four other queens, all of whom beat her.
all of whom also voted her as the one that should go next.
Exactly. Like, it was like that, was it the Project Runway moment where you're like, you know, who should go home? And like, everyone's like, Alyssa, Alyssa, Alyssa. And not only that, but her arch nemesis Coco is also in this season. Again, when I saw the cast list, I was like, why in the hell are they bringing back Coco and Alyssa? It's like, what did Alyssa say? Game on, bitch, the sequel. So here it is. Game on, bitch, the sequel. This is what's going on. It's Alyssa versus Coco, round two. And I'm like, well, haven't we seen this show before? Like, we saw everything mm-hmm. we needed to see from Alyssa and Coco. But when I heard the new twist, that's when it all made sense to me. I'm like, okay, if RuPaul knew that she was doing this twist, now I see why she brought these people back. These people have history. It's like All Stars on Survivor, where all those people had history. And you love the fact that they have history. Like, are they going to stay true to the history that they know? Or are they going to go out and make new herstory? So I love that fact. And so I really think that Alyssa will go far. In fact, she may be my pick to win. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm going to be a little shady here, and I will say initially that Alyssa Edwards scares the hell out of me. I don't know what it is, whether she like looks like you took someone with sagging skin and pulled their excess skin through the back of their head so her face gets stretched backwards, but there's just something about her that frightens me. Sharon Needle should take lessons from her, because I feel like she can make a perfect horror movie villain. I mean, she is sort of, I don't want to use the term underdog, but I feel like she's like the one who's least suspected of doing well, because I think she's the lowest placing of everyone here. She placed sixth. Just to go over her stats, she only won one challenge, which was the ballet challenge. It was right in her wheelhouse, considering that she teaches dance. She lip synced three times. She failed during the roast, the perfume, that's where Alyssa's Secret came out, and finally that, which was amazing. She also like named like her web series, her subsequent web series.
I know. It's like that. What people are the show. I'm sorry, when she had this challenge and they were like, well, what is Alyssa's Secret? And she's just giggling. She's like cracking herself up. Like, oh my god. Like I peen myself right now just thinking about it. Like she's so funny.
And the other one that she kind of flopped at was her final challenge, which was the telenovela with Wilmer Valderrama.
Oh,
so that being
God.
Said, that one, there no. is Mike. A little bit of a weak.
Like with you're taking me back, Mike. These are the greatest hits of Alyssa, right?
I love it. That being said, it's clear that her weakness from those challenges might be acting, or at least that aspect of performing.
You mean talent?
Yes, that T of the C-U-N-T is a little sagging, but the thing is, if you point at her, if you can point at that and say, okay, there might be a definitive challenge where Alyssa will not do well, so that might hamper her game a bit. But that being said, I think even though she does create a lot of drama, she could kind of sneak under the radar, because again, I sort of agree with Brent here. I don't see many people thinking, oh yeah, we need to get rid of Alyssa Edwards right now, strategically speaking.
I have a question for Allie. Like, Allie, what do you think? I think that Alyssa Edwards is to RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 as Sue Hawk is to All-Stars 1. What do you think?
I was just like afraid when you said you had a question for me. I actually think that's fair. I mean, look, I'm still in the mindset of just like traditional RuPaul's rules, like the traditional evaluation system. You guys might very well be right that she's looked as a non-threat, someone who traditionally wouldn't go very far in a season like this. So for that reason, she sticks around. But I am thinking early on, if she winds up in the bottom before people are getting cutthroat, where a lot of these people who were bitchy on their season that we're getting to are coming into this season trying to prove that they're sweethearts, might go for the lower hanging fruit. And she may be someone that's easy to toss out. No one's going to hate you for it. No one's going to be mad for it. And so we will see how this twist plays out. And I think that will really determine how Alyssa does, like almost more so than anyone else.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I do think that her danger zone is like these first three episodes, like when everybody's still trying to be nice and everyone's still trying to impress Rue. But see, I think RuPaul doesn't want that. Otherwise, RuPaul wouldn't have brought this twist into play. Like, they're quickly going to figure out, because I'm sure what will happen is like somebody will take one of the low hanging fruits and they'll leave one of the better competitors. And I'm sure on the next episode when they're up on stage, Michelle and Rue will read them the riot act, or as Alyssa would say, they would read them the house down under the cement and say, why? Why did you not take the chance to eliminate your competition when you had the chance?
And but couldn't like, we see that both ways? Yeah. I feel like I could see Rue or Michelle especially reading someone for getting rid of a strong queen. Because
it's going to be really interesting considering that, again, as Rue said, the power is in the people's hands, but they're still going to be there commenting on it. You know, it's like, let's take Jeff Probst's comments after every tribal council and expand them to a 4-person panel and, you know, magnify those opinions and see what they can say. Because, yeah, the power is essentially out of their hands, aside from determining who wins and who's in the bottom. So it'll be interesting to see if the producers end up taking sound bites of them getting frustrated over certain people's boots, and will that work for and against the show?
Can I ask you a quick question, which almost transitions into the next queen?
Okay.
Brent, you might know this. I'm not sure. What is the current status of the beef between Alyssa and Coco? I thought after their season, they kind of squashed it. Like when Coco is like crying as Alyssa leaves, like applauding. I thought that was kind of squashed. No.
Well, I think that it's very easy to cry and applaud when you just beat your competition. I mean, like, like let's say, I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, I won and I survived. So sorry to see you go. Goodbye. I do think they've squashed the beef between them. But, you know, look, they're back on RuPaul's Drag Race. So I'm sure they're going to bring it up again. Like, if it was squashed before, it's not going to be squashed now. Like, they're still going to talk about it. Like, you know, she took my crown. She tried to badmouth me. Like, we're still going to hear about it. I think it would be really hilarious if Alyssa and Coco formed an alliance. And, like, you know, this would be, like, the first strategy from RuPaul's Drag Race where two people who you don't think are ever, ever going to protect each other. You know, like, I could see something where, you know, Coco wins the lip sync for her life. Alyssa is sitting there with, you know, Fifi O'Hara or something. Let's just pick a name out of the air. And Coco eliminates Fifi and keeps Alyssa. And the queens would just drop. They would drop dead. They'd be like, well, what the hell? So I really look forward to see what is the relationship of the two of them and how they can get along under this new system.
So let's use that as a segue into talking about Coco Montrese. Went right out the door after Alyssa Edwards. Quick stats. She only won one challenge. She won the Roast of RuPaul. In a little bit of a twist, she did it as a character, which they ended up loving. Has visited the bottom more times out of any queen on this season. She went to the bottom 4 times. Mm-hmm. If you remember in the children's show, she was the really awkwardly timed ventriloquist dummy. when they did the We Are the World-esque song, Can I Get an Amen? She got in her head and she couldn't sing. That eponymous, the aforementioned telenovela with Wilder Valorama challenge. And the final challenge that she went out on was the makeover challenge, which was dressing up a soldier. So that being said, Coco is another one who I feel like has a lot of weaknesses, and maybe we can sort of couple her with Alyssa in terms of, I don't think anyone's really gunning for Coco. Going back to what you just said, Brent, I think there will be a moment where Alyssa and Coco kind of eye each other from across the room and sort of thinking from a meta perspective, say, okay, we know why we're here. And that's why I think if they squashed any sort of rivalry in the off season, I feel like it's going to come back at least in front of the cameras this season, because I feel like they know that's probably the only reason why they're back.
Well, and they're professionals. They know what's expected of them. You know, they, once they see each other, they're going to realize, okay, this is why I was brought back. You know, they know what to give RuPaul. If, you know, look, if you watch them the first time around, their beef with each other, it was not that big of a deal. Okay. It really wasn't. I mean, they, you know, they didn't really care for each other, but they got along fine. They were professionals. They had been in some shows together before. All of a sudden they come on RuPaul's Drag Race and it's like World War II between the two of them. Like, you know, every confessional is about the Miss Gay America pageant and what happened. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, if you didn't watch, like, you know, Alyssa was crowned Miss Gay America and Coco was first runner up. And, you know, you, depending on who you ask about what went down, they took the crown away from Alyssa and she was given the crown was given to Coco and Coco became the new gay Miss America.
Brent, like, are we sure Steve Harvey didn't host Miss Gay America?
I know, right? Yes, it's definitely a possibility. I was looking
still a great night.
Who was the
still
Miss America? Who was the Miss America who had the crown taken away from her? It was Vanessa. What's her name?
You know, I don't know this.
Oh God,
Miss Columbia was the
no, like the one from like 1984. Vanessa, what's her name? Like neither one of you know.
Vanessa Williams.
Yes, Vanessa Williams. Yes. Thank you, Mike. Yes, I was gonna have to look it up. Yeah, but she's like, yeah, Alyssa was Vanessa Williams. Like she got the crown taken away from her. She was given the boot, and Coco got the crown. So that's what happened between the two of them, and they knew how to play it up. It wasn't they were like. Exaggerated versions of themselves on the show the first time around. So again, when they come back this time, if the beef has been squashed, they're going to know what to do. It's just, that's part of being a drag queen.
Allie, aren't you glad that Coco Montrese is back on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Bitch, look how orange you look.
It's funny you say that because I was just really stunned when looking at her video and the, you know, images released for the, you know, the promotion of this. How I was so impressed with, I thought she had a great beat. I thought she had a great blend. I thought she had a great wig on. Like, I really thought Coco learned from seeing her orange face on television and really refined her look, at least in this image. Now, I haven't been on Coco's Insta or Facebook or anything like that.
Photoshop does wonders, girl.
No, but the video.
That's true.
I was impressed in the video. So, I mean, I had really low expectations for Coco and I just saw this cast list. I wasn't excited to see Coco. I mean, I will say she did survive three lip syncs before being eliminated, which is kind of a lot to last. Usually you only really have a couple of lip syncs worth of moves before Ru's seen it all. And she can work the stage, like she can do a lip sync, but can she avoid the bottom so that she could lip sync for her legacy? That I don't know. But I'm hoping the best, but expecting the worst.
Well, in case you weren't tired of season 5 yet, we have yet another queen to talk about in a row here. Let's detox for a second about Detox, the fourth place finisher from season 5, member of the aforementioned Rolaska Talks. Quick stats, she only had one win in that children's show. She played the chicken, if you don't remember, and they loved her. She went to the bottom 3 times. She kind of laid an egg in the snatch game when she tried to beat Kesha, and that was when she introduced her now trademark style in the lip syncs, which is for her to kind of, I don't know how to put this, like undulate her lower jaw, which is very unique. She bombed the dress up the troops challenge, and she finally went out during the Sugar Bowl multiple look challenge. Brent, what are your thoughts about Detox going into All Stars?
And she was pissed. Like, let me tell you, if anybody who was pissed that they did not make the finale, Detox is the one. She fully expected. And like, I think she had, like, she thinks she had earned it. She fully expected to be in the finale of season 5. Like, she thought it was going to be Alaska and Roxy and her and Jinx was going to be eliminated. Okay. For her to be eliminated fourth, you could read it on her face when she was eliminated. You can read it on her face when she went to the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars or season 5, when Jinx was eventually the winner. When she was there in that black and white outfit and Ru was interviewing her separately from the other queens, she was like, she was pissed. Like, as Paul would say, on Big Brother. So I think it's funny.
No friendship going on.
Yeah, no friendship. Exactly. She does have friendship with Willem and Vicky. I don't know if you know that Detox is a member of a group called DWV, which is like, it's a reference to their names, but it's also a reference to the singing group Sisters with Voices, SWV. And they've released quite a few videos, and you know, a lot of them have like multi-millions worth of hits views on YouTube. So they're very fun. They're usually parodies, different things, like, you know, different gay singles like Boy is a Bottom and Silicone and Dancing on My Own, things like that. Detox is going to be very interesting for me. Okay, she knows she wasn't liked on season 5, okay? I don't know if she cares about that, but let's assume for the sake of argument that she does. She goes into All Stars 2. She's going to try to be a little bit nicer, try to get some more fans, and all of a sudden, it's eliminate your own competitors. Like, I think the Detox from season 5 would have been great on All Stars 2. The Detox that we have now, I don't know if she's going to really go for that all that much. I think she's gonna be trying to saw the baby in half a little bit. Like, she's gonna, on one hand, try to be nice, and on the other hand, the demands of the game will push her to make uncomfortable decisions if she ever wins a challenge. So I'm very interested to see how she does.
Allie, what do you think? Do you think she's going to try to pull the Queen Solomon, as Brent just alluded to, or are things like her look in the finale a little more black and white?
Oh, you're killing it on the transitions today.
This is RuPaul's Drag Race. I have to be on the top
of
my pun
point.
Game.
He is on point.
Like Alyssa Edwards.
I like that. I felt like I didn't get the vibe from Detox's video that was like 1 minute, and I'm basing everything I'm saying off of that, that she was interested in really being sweet or becoming off as more well-liked than she was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like she said she wants to kick ass. She wants to kill it. She's going to come in hot. I mean, right. Like Brent's saying, like, she couldn't have known that she was going to have to cut a bitch this season, literally. But I almost feel like she'll be down for it. I hope she'll be down for it. I feel like, to me, Detox is like Acid Betty, but like with a better personality, so she can be like a little bit more of a likable like bitch of the season. I like Detox. Personally, though, we do have beef because she was billed as attending Bianca's roast that I went to, and she didn't show up. So, personally, I feel slighted by her, but on the show, I'm looking forward to seeing her. And I'm hoping, I mean, I could see her crying when she cut someone afterwards, but I feel like she might, more than anyone, might take advantage of it.
I don't know.
You heard like, first.
Can she cry? Like, I don't know. She doesn't produce real tears anymore. That's what she
said.
Well,
I mean, she did get in that car accident that prompted that plastic surgery. Right. So maybe her tear ducts got.
She had her chin done, her butt done, her cheeks done. She had her nose done. She had pec implants. Yes, exactly. She had a forehead lift. She had Botox. Like, girl's been through. She's been through the grinder and come back out.
Well, we'll see if Detox will just show up to the finale. I'm seeing red here after all this season 5 people, but oh no, it's not me being angry. It's just the red of Ginger Minj, the runner up from season 7. Let's talk about her. So she's one of the more recent queens. She probably has one of the most wins to her name. She won 3 challenges in total. They were all performative. It was the Glamazonian Airways lip sync. The snatch game she won as Adele, which I think was stellar. I'm so happy. When I remember watching it, and when Kennedy Davenport initially won, I was pissed that she didn't win for Adele, but I'm glad that they shared the win that once. And she won for the Eggs, Eggs, Eggs John Waters musical. But it's clear that she has an Achilles heel, and it might be involved with her heel because it is her dancing. She went to the bottom for that Dancing with the Queens challenge. And also, she has a little bit of a sewing problem as well. The infamous conjoined queens challenge with a current player and an eliminated player, where she decided to do conjoined at the boobs, and it was a hot glue gun mess. So that being said, my opinion on Ginger Minj, I liked her. Admittedly, you guys echoed my sentiments and the general public sentiments on season 7, where it was probably good, not great, definitely the weakest of this modern crop of seasons. It's clear, like the others, that she does have a pretty big weakness, and if they start things off with a choreography challenge, I don't know if she's been going to dance classes. God only knows. If she doesn't, she might as well see herself in the bottom. But if anything involves hamming it up and being a comedy queen, I feel like people like Alaska might have to watch out, because I think Ginger Minj is going to kill it.
I love Ginger Minj. For those of you who forgot who she is, she's the one who describes herself as a glamour toad. She was also the one that said, "I'm a cross-dresser for Christ. I'll have you down on your knees and begging for Jesus in 1 minute." Her confessionals were possibly top three. They were like, to me, they were like right up there with Alyssa and Bianca Del Rio. It's so funny to watch Ginger Minj on Drag Race. Okay, I think she's pissed. Because I think she thinks that she should have won season 7 and says here, I think that she has a valid argument. She probably is more in line for what a drag queen is than Violet Chachki. Now, look, I'm a fan of Violet Chachki. I think she should have won season 7, but I do think there's an argument there that Ginger Minj should have won it. She didn't win it. She came in second, which means you get no money. It's like I'm trying to think of something else, like in reality television. It's like a Project Runway, where if you get to the end, you win all the money and all the prizes. If you get second place, you get shit. So she won nothing. She's pissed. She wants to come back and show people that she can do it. She said that she played a little scared in season 7, and I don't think she did, but she thinks she did. She thinks she held back. So I'm very interested to see how the new Ginger Minj plays, especially with the new twist in play.
Yeah, it's important to point out, Allie, that in her video, there was sort of like one of the videos was a reaction to the new twist. And Ginger Minj, I pulled the soundbite where she said, you know, this twist, I think, forces everyone to be nice to each other. I mean, do you think Ginger Minj is going to play that super nice role? How do you think she's going to interact with these other queens, Allie?
It'll be interesting. I mean, I think my perspective of Ginger Minj is a little bit altered because I think I, like Rue maybe, was a little bit tired of the comedy queen, like from the last 2 seasons. Like, I mean, I love Bianca Del Rio. I love Jinx Monsoon, but it was just a bad season for Ginger Minj. You know, Rue likes to shake up the winner a little bit.
In terms
of her interactions with the rest of the queens, I want to know from you guys, and I think I know the answer to this, but do you think there's anything to Rob's theory about Survivor that you come back to an All-Stars similar to your winner to RuPaul's Drag Race, like that she'll feel like she needed to be a little bit more refined, like a little bit more glamour than Toad?
I don't know, because that strategy that Rob points out works to middling effects in Survivor. I feel like it might work even less in RuPaul's Drag Race, where everyone, there are some versatile people that jump around these types, but I feel like there are kind of siloed areas of drag, and Ginger Minj has been making a living as a comedy queen. I do think there might be places where she can incorporate more glamour. Let's talk about Bob the Drag Queen, who got notes all season to be more glamorous, and she tried it a couple times, granted to middling effects, but she still tried it. I think Ginger Minj could bring a little bit of that, but is she going to be doing aerial acrobatics from the ceiling a la Violet Chachki? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Plus, you know, the other thing too is that for people who don't know, who don't really follow RuPaul's Drag Race closely, they tell the queens before the season, okay, you know, if you wonder like how they come up with costumes that just happen to line up with whatever the challenge is currently dictating, it's because they tell the queens, okay, you're going to need a challenge. You're going to need a piece for a black and white challenge. Now, all these challenges may or may not happen. Like, they give them like, you know, 15 challenges and say, bring 15 outfits for each one of these, and maybe, you know, 9 of them happen, but you have to have an outfit that's prepared for that. So whatever she brings with her is what she's stuck with, you know, and whatever she can borrow from other queens, but that's going to be limited. So I think she's going to want to play to her comfort zone. Look, I don't know what there is to fix. She almost won it. I think she knows in her heart of hearts that it was probably a bad season for her as well. That in any other season, she probably is the winner, considering that there has never been a quote unquote big girl winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. And she would have been the first. In fact, she was the first big girl to make it to the final three. So I think she knows she should have won, but it just wasn't the right time for her based on the other two queens that had previously been the winner. They needed a little bit of a different queen, and Violet definitely gave RuPaul's Drag Race that. I think she's going to keep doing what she's doing, do it a little bit better, be a little funnier, keep her name out there. And I was she the one in the preview who says, so now we have to vote each other off the island, or was that somebody else?
Yeah. She's the one who name checks Survivor in the preview.
Okay, cool. Well, so she knows how to play the game. She'll be fine. I love her.
Yeah, though, to go back to your earlier point, is she now screwed again in that? I mean, I don't know how non-canonical the All-Star seasons are, but considering that we just had Bob the Drag Queen win, are we going to have another comedy queen come up again?
I think in All-Stars, it's less I mean, yes, it's segmented, but I feel like we have more queens who can do more than just one thing. Like, Alaska's a comedy queen, but had she won her season, I don't feel like it would have been as comedy queen-esque as, like, Bianca and Jinx. Like, I feel like we have people who can do it all. Like, Katya coming up, like, she's gorgeous, but she's also comedy. But she's so I don't know that it will be as big of a disadvantage for Ginger this time around.
So let's stick with season 7 here, but we are going a little international, specifically to Russia, to bring back Katya, the fifth placer from season 7, and Miss Congeniality from season 7. I was trying to, obviously, I did not watch these seasons at the time, so I was trying to figure out from the internet community who were some of the most popular choices going into this season. And I feel like due to recency bias and her backstory, Katya is one of the most popular people going into this season. Am I wrong in that, guys?
You're not wrong.
I know I read a list, a fan list that said, a fan poll that said, who would you want to see on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2? And Katya was definitely up there. Brent, what are your thoughts about Katya from moving from season 7 into All-Stars 2?
Look, if you're going to have All-Stars 2, you have to bring back Katya. I don't know if everybody remembers the moment from the finale where Katya brings out, or they're getting ready to name the winner. It's between Ginger and Pearl and Violet. And nobody, you know, besides like me and Allie, maybe a few other people, nobody really likes the final three. Okay. Everybody wanted Katya to be the winner. Okay. So RuPaul's getting ready to name the winner. She says the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race is Katya. And then Katya comes out. And I literally thought, like, going back to my previously said thing on the podcast about it's RuPaul's universe and we're just living in it. I literally thought, is she going to name Katya as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race? Like, she could do that and there'd be nothing that we could do and everyone would stand up and applaud and love her. But of course it was all like, you know, just give me a glass of water and then go back behind the curtain. Like, I mean, Violet ended up being the winner. So I think, you know, if you don't know that RuPaul gets the fact that we wanted Katya to be the winner of season 7, then that was her little wink at everybody going, okay, I get it. You guys, this is who you guys wanted to be the winner. She's massively popular. She's all over YouTube. I love Katya. I think her, by the way, she does have a last name. I know they don't use it on the show.
Yeah, it's like she has like three names. Okay, she says it in her intro package.
Yeah, it's like Katya Zemelochikova. Zemelochikova is like that. But everybody calls her Katya, and I do too. She was voted Miss Congeniality by the fans for RuPaul's Drag Race, and I think she's going to tear it up. Like, I think you're looking at top three, as long as the queens aren't intimidated by her and her talent, and there is a lot of it, I think she's going to do great.
Allie, do you agree with Brent? Are we going to be saying hello to this kitty for many winks?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because if you look at her history on the show, like, she did really well. She won twice. She was in the top a lot until she was eliminated. And what I loved in these videos is like a walk down memory lane of like the horrendous outfits that the eliminated queens left on. Like, she was in that one piece Hello Kitty spacesuit that was just like so horrific. But I think other than that, like, Katya could have really been in the final three, could have really won, and it just kind of slipped away from her. So I think exactly what Brent said, if she can make decent relationships with these queens and stay off the radar, or just like consistently be in the top like she kind of was on her season, she'll do really well.
That being said, going into the challenges that she did win, as Allie just mentioned, she won in the Ruse Hollywood Story acting reenactment challenge, and she did win that dancing challenge that Ginger Minj fell into the bottom for. Her two lip sync appearances were in that Glamazonian Airways lip sync. If you don't remember, she had to do the big monologue at the beginning and just effed it up completely, so she was pretty much screwed from then on. And that Hello Kitty challenge, she did say something interesting in her video this time, where she said she considers winning Miss Congeniality last season kind of a crutch, and she said she wanted to use All-Stars as a way for her to unveil her most monstrous tendencies. Brent, do you feel like she's blowing smoke a little bit, or do you think we're going to see a new Katya this season?
No, I do think she's blowing a little smoke. As Katya says, you know, when in doubt, show them your asshole. I do think that she might possibly have a little bit of problem with the dancing. I think Katya, she said something to the effect of, like, I can move my body in a compelling way, but it usually compels people to leave the room. So she's not great. Here's the thing. I think Katya is somebody who's really good. She's like Alaska. She's a jack of all trades, at a lot of different stuff. She's not especially great at any one thing in particular, but she's very good. She checks all of the boxes of all of the things that are required of a drag queen. So I think she'll be great as long as she can integrate herself and have a little bit of social currency with the queens that are on this season.
Jill of all trades, mistress of none.
Thank you.
So let's move on. We talked before about the toxicity, if you will, of Detox and the other members of Rolaska Talks. But here, I would say, is one of the major villains of Drag Race history. She is back. The only representative from this iteration of season four, runner-up Fifi O'Hara. Allie, what are your thoughts about Fifi?
You know, I didn't think much about Fifi until prepping for this podcast. And then I was I did such a deep dive into Fifi's current life based on her video. I mean, I think Fifi was, you know, a pageant bitch on her season, famously saying, like, at least I'm a showgirl bitch, go back to Party City where you belong, to Sharon Needles, which is classic, but horrible. And I think that Fifi now might be like most changed, most evolved. I did a deep dive into Fifi's Instagram, and it's like very much, as she said in her video, cosplay informed, very anime-esque. And I think she's going to be bringing like a lot of very interesting looks that I wouldn't have expected just seeing her name on this list. I'm excited for Fifi, but I don't know if she's going to be looking to shirk the bitch label that she gained for herself in season four.
Well, what do you think, Brent? Because in her video, she says she wants to show her sweet side. Again, sort of the polar opposite of Katya here. Do you think we're going to see that sweet side from Fifi?
Horseshit. There's no way she's going to be able to show her sweet side. She might want to, but like when she hears the twist from this season, I mean, remember, this is the bitch who, I can't even remember this happening on another season. She deliberately sabotaged Jiggly in that Dragazine challenge where she advised her to, you know, you should really go serious here about the health and fitness thing, when of course RuPaul was telling everybody, you know, you should use humor in this. And Jiggly in the finale absolutely tore into Fifi and said, you know, you was my sister, bitch, you know, I trusted you. And so like I don't know how many of these queens know Fifi and really like her. I was very taken with Fifi when I saw her in her interview and, you know, and what she's been doing in her life since then. I mean, I've never, ever, 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 ever seen Fifi in a short wig. And she was in this short white wig with this incredible makeup in this interview that they were doing. And I was like, I can't believe that's the same Jeremy, that's his real name, by the way, for you don't know, Fifi O'Hara's real name. His real name is Jeremy. It's like J-A-R-E-M-I or something like that. But, you know, so really something faggotlicious. But I can't stand it. But it's fine. You know, I'm totally cool with it. You know, be you. So he's just, I don't know, he's such a, he's like an onion. You know, like the Onion Alliance from Survivor Gabon. It's like, I want to peel it back and find out what's there. I'm worried, though, that we won't get the chance to. Like, I'm really worried that this might be the low-hanging fruit that Ali speaks of. You know, if Fifi gets ostracized really quickly, I can see her ending up in the bottom, and I can see her going home.
You heard it here first. Brent, just compare Fifi O'Hara to Shrek the Ogre. They are both like onions. Yeah, Fifi was definitely probably one of the most cutthroat queens we've experienced on the series thus far.
Yes.
You just mentioned the moment with Jiggly. There was that one moment where when little Kenya Michaels came back to the competition and Fifi was like showing with her eyes who Kenya Michaels should like assign people to. She was not afraid to sully any sort of relationships to get herself further in the game. But I feel like, and again, I wasn't following it at the time, but I feel like the community might not have been receptive to that. And so she might have changed her tune a bit. I sort of agree with Brent that I don't know exactly if she's going to really change her stripes that much, even though she has, cosmetically speaking. She is sort of a free agent in that, you know, not only is she the only representative from her season, but her season happened 4 years ago. I wouldn't call her one of the older queens, but she's definitely she's definitely further removed than some of these most recent queens. So it'll be interesting to see how she interacts. But I think you said before about Detox that, you know, Detox 1.0, this format would be perfect for her. I feel like if Fifi wants to go back to her ways, this would be an amazing season for her. And I would love to see the Fifi O'Hara of season four use strategy and be able to eliminate people. So hopefully Fifi will at least be able to show that part of her personality without alienating too many people.
Yeah, I think Fifi was ahead of her time. I really do. Like, she was already playing All-Stars Season 2 back in Season 4 when she was doing all those shady things to those other queens. So I think she'll fit right in.
I mean, I don't know how much people want to talk about this or hear about this, but we can't discount, you know, producers inner ear saying like, this is the Fifi we want to see. Like, we don't want to see nice Fifi, but like, that's boring. You'll be forgettable. You won't be on the show. But I do think it will be a battle because I do think her look has been completely reformed. I do kind of buy that she's more about her drag, more confident in this drag, potentially not needing to feel like she needs to cut down other queens to perform well. But it will be interesting to see how it plays out.
So let's keep along with our villain here. And let's talk about arguably one of the other biggest villains on the Mount Rushmore of RuPaul's Drag Race. The third member of Rolaska Talks, Roxy Andrews, runner up of Season 5. And as you guys talked about on one of your previous podcasts about Rob, took, from what I assume, the brunt of the internet hate for her treatment of Jinx Monsoon. Brent, do you think she's going to have a metaphorical wig under the wig here and come in with a new personality for this season?
Mike, I'm fixing to call you all out, okay? Like, that's what Roxy always used to say. I'm like, Alyssa, now I have to explain my jokes. I love it. This is the person out of all 10 people I feel the worst for, because I know that she did what she did on Season 5. Okay, I know that. But you also know, as Ali said correctly, the producers are dragging it out of her. Like, okay, yeah, more of that. But tell us how you really feel. And she gave them everything that they wanted. And then America just totally came down and said, we hate you. You know, and it's... Roxy is all over Twitter and really goes out of her way to put up a professional look as far as her drag goes. She takes it seriously. I think she understands what happened during Season 5, and I think that she will not want to repeat that experience. Out of everybody who's on this season, this is the person I am worried about the most, having the biggest trouble with the twist, because she's going to not want to be in an alliance. She's not going to want to hear the same things that she heard during Season 5. She's going, you know, everybody wants affirmation. She wants people to like her, okay? Unless you're Detox, okay? So she wants people to like her. But then this new twist comes into play. And, you know, of course she's going to want to go back to Detox. Of course she's going to want to lean on Alaska and Alyssa and Coco and the people that she knows from Season 5. So it might just send her back to what she was doing before. It's going to be an interesting dichotomy watching it, though.
Allie, Roxy has the distinction of finishing either in the top or the bottom every single week in Season 5. She was never just coasting in the middle. With this new format, do you think that's going to help her or hurt her?
I think it hurts just in terms of you show yourself as being a great competitor and then you're in the bottom next week. And that's like the easiest reason to send someone home. Like, oh, they were just on the top. They're a threat. I got to get them out. I think her performance echoes kind of like where she was at emotionally that season. I mean, she'd be the biggest bitch and then she'd be crying about her abandonment issues with her birth mother and all of these things. And I don't know if that roller coaster is still going to be there or if she's, you know, taken a step back, watched herself grown from it, and maybe her performance will be different. I will say that Roxy has had some of the most, I mean, that wig reveal is one of the most iconic.
Oh
lip syncs.
Oh my God.
Her candy outfit in the shirt, was that the Sugar Bowl? I mean, the candy outfit she made was so amazing, so beautiful. She gives looks. I will say I am not impressed with the fit or appearance of this look in her promo stuff for this.
Yeah, I agree. I totally hear what you're saying. The candy challenge was even more special because remember she was going with something else for the longest time. She spent like 5 hours, 6 hours, like planning a whole different look. Then RuPaul came in and said, yeah. And then she's like, okay, I gotta go a different way. And of course, she used all this licorice and made this a fabulous dress, which was phenomenal. It was possibly one of the best things I've ever seen created, you know, from top to bottom on RuPaul's Drag Race. The lip sync that she had with Alyssa, the name of the song is Whip My Hair, and she had this wig reveal where she had a wig on top of another wig. You know, many, 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 many queens have ripped off their wig on RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul hates it, okay? So when Roxy started to take off her wig, I was like, oh my God, here we go. And then she had another wig underneath it. And she told, like, that thing was absolutely glued the hell down. Like, she whipped that all over the place. Possibly the best lip sync. In fact, in my opinion, the best lip sync ever on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, it prompted the first, I think it might have been the first ever non-elimination, where I guess Ru was just so impressed by the both of them that she said,
well, no, let's be real.
We're just going to call a mulligan and move on.
Yeah, let's be real, Mike. Roxy Andrews won that damn lip sync, okay? Like, yeah, yeah. Alyssa was flinging herself all over the place like a chicken. But Roxy was the winner of that lip sync. All right. So look, she's coming back. She has another chance. She is a phenomenal queen. I agree with what Ali said. I don't love the look in the promo, but I'm like, I'm going to give that a little bit of slack because obviously she's receiving some direction from producers and maybe they said, okay, well, yeah, that one over there looks really good, or here, wear this, or, you know, whatever. So let's see what she has to offer and then judge her from there.
Yeah, we'll see how many sequin-dressed Roxy brings to the table here in All Stars 2. Let's move on to the last, and as Brent might attest to, the least of our drag queens. She is all the way back from Season 2, fourth placer, Tatiana. Ali, give me your thoughts on Tatiana, and how is she going to fit in with these kids, or is she not?
Yeah, I mean, I actually do remember Tatiana well from her season, just as, I mean, on Season 2, she was really criticized by the other queens, but also known for being, like, the fishiest, which is just, like, the most, I don't know, cis woman-like looking. She was beautiful, and that's kind of where it stopped. I mean, she did win the Snatch Game on her season for being Britney, but other than that, it really is just about face and body with Tatiana. I don't know that the, I mean, I think she will be non-threatening, but she's also kind of that low-hanging fruit. But at the same time, I feel like the queens don't really respect someone who's just got a look. I don't really remember Tatiana having much personality. And I will say, in her outfit in the promo, again, she hasn't evolved. She's wearing, you know, legs for days, bare legs, and then a shower curtain attached to her butt. It's like classic Tatiana. There's been no evolution. And I looked on her Instagram, and it's the same damn thing. It's just selfie, 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 beautiful makeup, beautiful makeup. Like, show me something different, Tatiana. And I was hopeful that she'd evolved, but from what I can tell, I don't really see anything impressive.
Yeah, Brent, I'll admit that I am making my way through the older seasons. I have seen seasons 4 through 8, and because I was encouraged to, and they're readily available on Hulu. If people haven't watched them yet, please do. And now I'm sort of going through the back catalog, and I've been noticing that season 2, specifically the first 3 seasons, are definitely both of a different production value, and I would argue of a different talent level, where it seems like the runway looks specifically are much less over the top than they are on RuPaul's Drag Race Modern, which is what I absolutely love. Do you think Tatiana's outmatched here? Let's, you know, no puppets, but let loose if you want to.
Yeah,
on Tatiana.
I mean, let's be real. First of all, two things. Number one, first of all, see, I don't agree with what you said about season 3. Like, season 3 is very fashion forward to me. I don't know if you know who the winner of that season was, but I mean, there's a lot of good queens on season 3. So I agree what you said about season 1, season 2, but season 3 is where it starts, and they really bring the fun and the shade and the fashion in season 3. So having said that, Tatiana season 2, often criticized. She's basically like a boy in a dress. Okay, she's really pretty, okay, but she's not fashion forward. She doesn't do anything creative with her looks. And as Ali said, I looked at her as well. Same thing, you know, 8 years later, here she's still doing the same thing. You know, on positive, on the one hand, she knows what works. She did get fourth place her season. On the other hand, this is total cannon fodder. Like, this is like chicken on Survivor. Okay. Like the person, not the animal. All right. Like there's no way that Tatiana is going to be the winner of this season. Like she may cause some drama. She may survive a couple episodes, but instead, you know, look, this is the problem. I think she's going to consistently end up in the bottom, and eventually somebody's going to say, okay, you just don't deserve to stick around. And I think says here she's going to get eliminated first. So I think the first episode, I think they're going to feel pressure to eliminate the queen who's the worst. And to me right now, it's Tatiana.
So you don't think the chance of a Pawn Star will exist on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 2?
Well, if the Pawn Star, if they can, I don't know. I mean, like, I think that possibly that could, evolve later on down the line, but maybe not until like, you know, final six, final five, where they're kind of thinking about this and like the money looks real, you know, right at the beginning when they have to, you know, the pressure's on them. Look, whoever eliminates right at the beginning is setting the tone for the season. If you are a really good queen and you win the first lip sync, you're not going to want to do something shady during the first elimination and take one of your competitors out, because then the next week they might take you out. Somebody might say, oh, okay, I know how this works now. If you just take somebody like Tatiana out, then it's like, ah, no big deal. You did your part. Congratulations. And we move on, you know, but if you decide to take a swing at somebody, somebody else is going to be pissed about that. And now they know they can do it. They're like, oh, okay, I see how this game works now. So I don't think anybody who wins the first challenge is going to want to do anything but eliminate Tatiana.
It seems like also in that aforementioned twist reveal video that I talked about, she was the one that was most vocal about not being happy with the twist. I mean, Allie, would you compare her to one of these older guys on Seasons of Survivor that would say, like, I'm not really going to play the strategy jumping around alliance game. I'm just going to kind of be a free vote and anyone just pick me up and have what you want with me.
I could see that pitch, but I also see her just really being out on a limb by herself, which is why she would be upset with this twist. She's an easy target. I mean, we see it in almost every show like this. We see it in The Challenge, Survivor, Big Brother. It's like, you just, week one, week two, like, just give them a reason to eliminate you. And in a competition show like this, it's being in the bottom, like being the worst. Your outfit was the worst. I have to eliminate you. I'm sorry. I'm just being fair. Like, I can really see this, bro, right. Saying, like,
me too.
Happening in the beginning. Nobody wants to be the first person to make a big move. It's way too early week one. And I just think it's going to follow suit with like every other show like this.
Well, we have done it. We have taken all 10 returning queens out of the closet, putting them back on the runway to finish up this segment and this podcast. We are each going to make a winner pick. Let's go ladies first. So, Allie, of the 10 queens, who is your pick to win All Stars 2?
Hi. I mean, look, everybody likes Alaska. Everybody wants to pick Alaska right now. I think you only kicked it to me because I'm unwilling to pick someone else. But I will. It's almost, I don't necessarily think Alaska is going to win, but I just have to be behind her all season. I love Alaska. I'm putting all my eggs in her basket. Eggs, eggs, eggs.
All right, Brent, who are you putting your eggs into?
You know, I was trying to think of something very fun to say, but I can't. I'm like back rolls, what? No, I'm going with Alyssa. I think you guys are you're selling short on Alyssa, or long as it may be. Like, you really, I think you guys are going to look back and say, wow, I really should have seen this coming. I think RuPaul loves Alyssa. Okay. I think the other competitors love Alyssa as well. Like, they're not threatened by her and they like her presence. There's going to be no reason to get rid of her. So that means she's probably going to go to the end. And if you get toward the end, no one's going to want to eliminate her then, because they're like, well, you know, the money's close. I can smell. Look, let's be real. These drag queens, they are poor. People think drag queens are rich. Drag queens are poor. $100,000 is a big effing deal. If they have any chance to win that, they've got to eliminate their competition at the end and keep somebody like Alyssa. I think she gets to the end, and I think RuPaul gives her the crown. That's what's going to happen.
Wow. All right. Interesting pick from Brent of Alyssa Edwards. I'm between a few names right now. I my wife's voice is in my ear right now and telling me to pick Adore, but I want to create drama in our household and root for two different people when we watch the show. I'm going to deviate from the obvious season 5 norm. Give me Katya. I think that,
all right,
Katya, you know, despite the fan favorite award probably making her a bit of a target coming in, I think she's strong overall. She placed, you know, pretty well, but not too well given the rest of the competition in her season. And I think she has the ability to kind of sneak her way through while all these people are kind of sniping at each other and be able to make her way to the end. And of course, there is a 7 out of 10 chance that any of these other queens can win, though I guess according to Brent, one might have a significantly less chance of winning than the others. But our winner picks are locked in, and we will revisit those winner picks when we talk about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 throughout the season.
Mike,
which sort of segues in. Yes.
I have one thing to say as far as those winner picks go.
Yes.
Okay.
Can anyone do the? Can anyone do a click? There we go.
I will
Laganja Estranja lives in our hearts.
Look, I love her.
Say that Katya probably would have been my like more strategic pick, and I do love having the Chi-Chi Devane style shade continue between Brent and I. So
thank you.
I'm very
yes.
happy with your picks.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
listen,
you.
This show and this podcast thrives on drama, and you will be hearing that drama every week here on Reality TV or Hap Up. So here's the deal: we are going to be back after every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Since the show airs on Thursdays, due to scheduling, we'll probably most likely record on the weekend. So that being said, we'll give out social media handles later, but as soon as the episode airs, we'd love to hear any questions, thoughts from you guys. I think the podcast that you guys did with Rob is a signifier that there is a large contingency of RPDR fans in this community, so we want to hear from you. Brent and I will be back to talk about this. Allie, do you want to explain your situation a little bit, just so people are aware?
Is there a situation? No. I'm unclear what my schedule will bring. I'm going to try to be on as much as Brent and Mike will have me. If not, other people will be popping by, or just Brent and Mike will be doing it. I'm going to do my best. The scheduling really does work for me, though, with the weekend scheduling. So hopefully you guys will be cool with a little bit of a delay in the RPDR podcast.
Don't let her fool you. She's moving on. She's finding new friends. She's moving up to bigger and better things. So, you know, fine.
This is not a Willem situation, guys. No drama here. Allie will come back as much as we can. We'd be happy to have her. Otherwise, we will try to cycle in as many people as possible. Let's go down the line here. If you guys want to give out your Twitter handles and talk a little bit about what you're involved outside of RPDR in the RHAP universe. So, Brent, why don't you go first?
My Twitter is One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, One Lucky Gay. You can tweet me anytime. I tweet mostly about Big Brother. I watch the live feeds for Rob along with Alex Kidwell and Taryn Armstrong. It's really been fun. And not only that, but Big Brother is coming back for another fall season on CBS All Access, so we're going to be covering that on Wrap. We always do the live feeds show on Monday with Big Brother Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, and then I'm always on Thursday night proper with Rob after the Big Brother eviction, and sometimes we have other people with us, and sometimes it's just me and Rob. So by the way, the one thing I wanted to really quickly say about the season, the one big question mark to me is I'm actually shocked, given the way that they are doing this season, I'm shocked that they didn't have Willem. And I wanted to know what Allie thought about that.
Yeah. I had heard, you know, rumblings of rumors amongst the internet that people were really pushing to have Willem back on.
Oh, God,
I know that,
yeah.
Like, his relationship with the show is not sorted. I think he came back for, like, an episode of Drag University. So I think that they'd be willing to have him back, or Willem to have him back. So I'd be intrigued to hear from Allie as well. Are you disappointed to hear from the lack of Willem? And why, if so, why do you think he hasn't appeared?
I don't know. My instinct would have been to say that, like, someone on production, Rue, like, doesn't want to work with Willem. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not, like, thirsting to see Willem again.
Okay,
maybe
right.
I'm in the minority. But
you're
I would have been happy. I mean, it would have been... No, it would have been interesting for this twist.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, maybe sub out Tatiana, fine. But I'm really happy with this cast overall. A lot of people I wanted to see back.
Yeah. By the way, Brent, I heard for the new fall season of Big Brother that they're going to have them dress up as drag queens, and then Julie Chen's going to eliminate them. They're going to change up the format a little
bit. Oh, good. Well, you know, I have my drag. I can grab it and go in the house. As those of you who don't know. Like,
exactly. So all the more reason to have Brent on Big Brother 19.
I know, right? Mike, if you don't know, like, they did a little thing on Reddit earlier today about the three live feeders, and somebody basically said that I was just whoring myself out on Rob as a podcast to try to get on Big Brother, and that's all there was to it. So my job is hanging by a thread, ladies and gentlemen, and save me if you can.
Well,
I don't know how much of a conduit this is going to go to Big Brother. I feel like you make a sharp left turn to get from RuPaul's Drag Race to Big Brother, but we are here for you. Allie Lasher, give us your social media handles and what you're doing on the RHAP networks.
What am I doing on the RHAP networks? I am wrapping up this season of Are You the One this week. And actually, unfortunately, by the time you are listening to this, we will have already recorded the finale podcast, which I don't know if you guys have read the forecast, but it's cloudy with a chance of blooms.
Yes.
Allie has a bloom cast for the finale of Are You the One?
Yes. Who better to take down the dating show than a married couple? So it's going to be a lot of fun. If it's not up already, it should be shortly after this podcast.
That's really it from an MTV front. We're just kind of now sleeping, waiting for the announcement of the challenge to come back. But when it does, you can follow me at Lash Tweets. And we will keep you posted on the rest of the MTV wrap-up coverage.
And as always, you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. You can check out some of the stuff I did on post-show recaps. I talked about Suicide Squad, Jason Bourne. I've been filling in for Josh Wigler on a couple of Mr. Robot podcasts, doing something Lost related as well. And in general, make sure you're subscribed to Reality TV Rehab Ups. That's where you will make sure that these podcasts get into your feed ASAP. Go to robhasawebsite.com/rehabups, RHAPUPS. There you can subscribe not only to this podcast, but Ali's aforementioned coverage of The Challenge and Are You the One? Brent's aforementioned coverage of the Big Brother reality TV for Happy Hour. We have Amazing Race Canada, Bachelor in Paradise. There is a slew of stuff going on. To finish things off, guys, let's figure out a hashtag for people who made it all the way through this cast preview. I have one, but I'm intrigued if you guys have any.
How about Ivy Winters? No, I'm just kidding.
Just someone that we didn't even talk
right?
about.
I know, right?
Or London, Paris, Milan. I had one where Brent talked about how Alyssa likes to explain her own jokes. How about hashtag Alyssa splaining?
Okay, all right. I'm down with that. Allie, what do you think?
Love it.
All right.
Perfect.
Book it.
So hashtag Alyssa splaining for those of you that made it all the way through. And again, let us know your thoughts. We know there is a rampant Drag Race community out there, and we would love to hear from you, especially after RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars premieres next week. So we will hear from you guys, hopefully in the comments section, hopefully on social media. We will talk again next week after the premiere. For now, sashay away.
Bye.